Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody, this is Barbara Hofmeister speaking and I'm your show for the host today. And actually today it will be a slightly different format because on Thursdays I want to take you through the processes of my book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours. And the subtitle, as you probably know, is Get Your Dreams Back and the Courage to Make Them Come True. I think it is all important that we all thrive to actually live our dreams, to actually do what we are here to do and what we want to do. But in many cases, it has been buried under so much litter, under so much worry, under so much doubt, under so much fear that we don't dare to do that. And this is why I wrote the book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours, because we always have a choice, no matter how young or how old you might be. It doesn't matter. You still have a choice, the choice to change as of now, as of this moment. And in the first session that I did a couple of weeks ago, and you can listen here in the archives, I gave you the introduction and an overview of the book. But today I really want to get into chapter one and want to help you define your vision of your perfect day. Because only when we know what we truly want can we actually try to achieve that. Do you agree with me? So the chapter starts, or it's called, Start with the End in Mind. And I'm starting with a quote by Harold Whitman. He's an author and a professor of history from the United States. And he says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go and do that. Because what the world needs are people who've come alive. And I could not agree more with that. So in chapter one, I talk about our wake-up calls. Well, our wake-up calls are moments when we have a shock in many cases. Wake-up calls happen very often in times of distress, for instance, during a fight with a loved one, during a divorce, a bankruptcy. And in my case, it was my midlife crisis. My God, I really had a strong one. And I was just turning 40. And it was a few days before my 40th birthday. I had invited people from all around Europe because I traveled a lot. And I've always traveled since I was very young. And I worked in tourism for 20-odd years. So a lot of my friends, they were not anywhere around me. They were spread all over Europe and the world, actually. So I invited everybody for my 40th birthday, and it was a really, really special day because my relatives from East Germany, where I was born, ex-communist Germany, they were allowed to come for the very, very first time. So it was very special for my family and very special for me also because my younger relatives, my cousins, and my old friends from my childhood were allowed to come and visit too. So we were about 50 people were previously to come. I was really excited and preparing, and the closer my birthday came, the worse my mood turned. It was really strange. From excitement, I went into a depression. And nobody knew. My parents really tried to cheer me up. The first friends that arrived from other countries tried to cheer me up, but nothing could cheer me up. I was in a terrible state, in a really bad mood, because I, you know, while I was going through all my address books and reflecting on the past and reflecting on my life, I had the feeling that I twiddled away the first half of my life and that I hadn't really achieved anything. And it was a terrible feeling. And I thought, my God, I've wasted my life. And you know, nothing and nobody could get me out of it. And you see, I know now today, or I know now for many years, where those feelings of frustration come from. Because we all have dreams. We all have ideas of what we believe our life should be like, or what we wish our life to be like. But that means there are billions and billions of dreams out there, right? As many people as there are on the planet, that is how many dreams are out there, life dreams I'm talking about. And every one of us is different. Every one of us is unique. And we all have the same right to make our dreams come true. Can you imagine that? Billions of dreams, and everyone is slightly different. So who do you think is responsible for making your dream come true? Who do you think? It has to be you, right? There's only one answer. There can't be another answer. You are the only person who can turn your life into the life of your dreams. Nobody else can. But this logical fact seems to avoid most people. Most people don't seem to understand it. They're always waiting for outside input. They're waiting for their spouses to make them happy, their boyfriends, their girlfriends, their children, their parents, their colleagues, their friends. No, it is you that need to make yourself happy. You need other people to achieve it, yes. But first of all, you need to live your life. You need to make the decisions, and you can decide what makes you happy and what doesn't. But it seems so much easier to blame our parents, to blame our spouses, to blame especially the government and society as a whole for everything that doesn't work in our lives. But once you think about it, you know that that is not logical. It doesn't really make sense. You are responsible, I am responsible for my life, and you are responsible for yours. And that means that you are only responsible for your life. And with that, I don't mean you don't need to take care of your children or of your pets or of elderly people or of sick people. No, quite the contrary. But first of all, you are responsible for your own well-being. That is the main thing. And the question is, are you ready to take that responsibility? This is what we're talking about in the wake-up call. And I'm really taking it into, you know, breaking it down and giving you a lot of examples, a lot of stories, and also some nice techniques so that you start to see how many wake-up calls you've already had in your life, because we normally have more than one, I can tell you. Okay, so you see, everything in our life is possible. And we have plenty of examples on the planet alive today of people who have made absolutely incredible progress and who live amazing, amazing, amazing lives. Many, many examples. But over the years, we learned to doubt our abilities. When we were small children, we never doubted we could do anything. We never doubted that. And as we get older, you know, we get so many no's. We get so, just for our protection, our parents keep telling us, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you're too young, you're too small, you're too this and you're too that. So, of course, your confidence level goes down. And we start to doubt our abilities. We start to doubt that we can really do it. And unfortunately, that seems to be in almost all societies like that. But if you look at small children, you can see that they are completely limitless. They never doubt their ability, and if they want something, they will find 100 ways how to get it if the first try didn't work. So that is very, very different. And Brian Tracy, on one of his CDs, he said he tells the story of little Bob. And little Bob was drawing a picture in play school, and the teacher asked him what the picture will be, and Bob answered, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." "But you can't draw God," says the teacher. "Nobody knows what he looks like." "Ah, but they will once I'm done," declared little Bob with full confidence. And that's the difference between children and adults, unfortunately. We need confidence. We need to believe that we deserve to live our dreams, that we are good enough to live our dreams. That is all important. But like I said, from early childhood, we hear, "Don't do that, stop, no, not here, not now, you can't do this, behave, you're not big enough," and so on and so on. And fairly soon, we start to believe that maybe we are a failure. Maybe we really can't do this stuff. And if we don't behave as our peers expect us to, they get angry with us. And as children, it is so important that people around us, the people that we love, love us back. So when our parents are angry with us, we think that they don't love us anymore. It's all black or white at that age. There is no gray. There is no, they're just angry for 5 minutes. No, it is like they're angry. They don't love us anymore. Oh, my God. So that's where fear sets in. And this is where conditioning sets in also. So we tend to drift into a comfortable, but unfortunately very often miserable life that is not really our own, that is the life of society, is the life of the people around us, is the life of our village or our culture, but it's not our life. And every culture, no matter how rich or poor, has people that step out of, you know, the normal village life or the normal life there and do something extraordinary. And you can be that person too. That's up to you. You just have to make that choice. So, I mean, I will keep telling you this throughout the whole book, but especially today, as I want to wake you up a little bit, and I hope you don't mind that I keep repeating that, that you have a choice. But we forget very often what we wanted to do when we were youngsters. And soon, instead of living our life, we live the life of our parents very often, of our spouses, our well-meaning friends, and the society around us. And one day we wake up, like I did at 40, and we are 30, 40, 50, or even 60 years old, and we wonder what happened to all those years. What happened to all that time in my life? My God, I've wasted my half of my life. That is what I thought. Today I know that I had a very special life. From the age of 16, when I ran away from home, my parents caught me after a day, so I wasn't too clever in those days. But from age 16, actually, I've always lived my life, more or less my way. And I've always lived a life of my choice. And if I could do it all over again, there isn't really that much that I would do different. So I consider myself especially fortunate because I made that decision to live my own life when I was very young. And I never looked back except on my 40th birthday. So during the party, I decided I needed to change my life. I decided that I needed to live more purposefully. I needed to well, be more stable, live in one place and not like I did before, every 6 months a different country and so on. So within the next 6 months, I relocated to a new country. I relocated to Germany. I hadn't lived there for many, many, many years. And I worked in a responsible job that I really knew nothing about. And I started totally fresh in a new town where I knew nobody, in a new job that I didn't really know. And I started fresh with no history or connection to my past. And I thought this is stability, and now I'm going to be like all the other people that, you know, like all my friends in Germany that have such a strong and active social life, and that's going to make me happy. Well, I can tell you it didn't. I didn't stay for that long. I stayed for about 1.5 years, and I moved to Russia. And they weren't the happiest 1.5 years of my life, and it was not a good decision. But I needed to make it to understand that I had a good life and that what I was doing was good. I was living my life. So the wake-up call was very important. And for you also, the wake-up call will be very important. You see, Confucius said, if you don't change the road that you're traveling on, you will probably end up where you're going. Let me repeat that. If you don't change the road you're traveling on, you will probably end up where you're going. That means you will probably get stuck. And, you know, if you're not 100% happy with your life now, then it's time to do something about it, right? Remember what Nelson Mandela said in his inauguration speech? He used a poem by Marianne Williamson, and one of the sentences was, as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. You see, the only stability that you need is the knowledge that your heart, your soul, and your mind will always be with you. If you can accept that knowledge, then you're truly independent. Then you're truly free, because you can only be happy within yourself. And only when you are happy within yourself and with your life can you make other people happy, and can you be happy with other people. That's really important to understand. You see, from my coaching and from my life workshops, I know that most of us get these wake-up calls. Some come earlier, some come later. And very often they appear around birthdays, especially around birthdays or special anniversaries, or in sad, difficult moments, like during a divorce, the death of a loved one, bankruptcy, or other dark moments in our life. And sometimes they really, really hit us hard. And the difference between the winners and the losers, if I need to say that hard, is the speed with which you get up again. Why? Because it takes some doing to make us change. And it takes, and those special occasions that I just talked about, they are those moments where we actually stop in our tracks and we reflect a little bit on our life. So I want you to give it a few moments of thought. What is your life all about? Who are you? What do you want? What are your dreams? What's your idea of an ideal life? Let me repeat that. What's your life all about? Who are you? What do you want? What are your dreams? What's your idea of an ideal life? Reflect on that for a few moments. You can actually find this in the first chapter of my book on page 18. And you will, if you want to get the preview of the book, you will actually get the first 38 pages for free. So just go to the book website. It is www.thetobebook.com, thetobebook.com. And there you can get your free preview session. That's the first 38 pages of the book. And that will help you enormously to really define what your ideal life would look like. So we will soon do some exercises that will help you to clarify that. And I ask you to take these exercises seriously, because it's your life. You're not doing this for me or anybody else. You are doing it for yourself, and that is important, because your life is important. You matter. You make a difference on this planet, positive or negative. You make a difference. And if you're listening to this, then I know that you want to make a positive difference. So I want you to give yourself 15 minutes for the questions. And you know, after we finish the show maybe, or later on tonight, give yourself 15 minutes for this question, to answer these questions. What's your life all about? Who are you? What do you want? What are your dreams? What's your idea of an ideal life? Because it will help you. It's the first little step towards finding the real you. Jim Rohn says, I find it fascinating that most people plan their vacation with better care than they plan their lives. Perhaps that is because escape is easier than change. You don't want to escape your life, do you? No, I'm sure you don't. I think that change is easier than escape. That's just a quick fix, the escape, but it doesn't really solve anything. So what do you really want? I want you to take a piece of paper and a pen so that you can do this exercise, not during the show, but do it immediately afterwards. What do you really, really want? Imagine you had all the money you would ever need and could do anything you want to do, knowing that you could not fail. What would you do? What do you really want? Imagine you had all the money you would ever need and could do anything you wanted to do, knowing that you could not fail. What would you do? I want you to write this down. Be creative and really dig deep down to come up with the things that you would love to do, absolutely love to do. How would you spend your time once you had done and bought everything that you might still have on your wish list? What would you love to do if you could do anything you wanted to do without holding back? Well, now is the time to actually go into your wildest dreams and fulfill them, at least on paper. What do you really want if you had all the money you would ever need and could do anything you wanted and knew you couldn't fail? What would that be? Okay, take a few minutes later on, because we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to give you a couple of more exercises so you have, you know, you can work on actually moving into your ideal life as of today, step by step. So next question is, would the above, what you've written down about what you really want, would that give your life more meaning? And if it would give your life more meaning, why are you not doing it? If what you truly want would give your life more meaning, why aren't you doing it? That is not a comfortable question. I am aware of that. And if what you really want would not give your life more meaning, then the question is, why do you want it in the first place if it doesn't give your life more meaning? So let me just repeat those questions. Imagine you had all the money you would ever need and could do anything you wanted to do, knowing that you couldn't fail. What would you do? And would that give your life more meaning? And if it would, why aren't you doing it? And if it wouldn't, why do you want to do it in the first place? Well, actually, for now, I think that's quite a big chunk to go through. But you don't have to go into detail here, because that's just food for thought, and we will go into much more detail later on, not today, next week and the week after, because this takes time. It's not something that you will do overnight. It's not something you will not change. You will change in an instant by making a decision. But the process takes some time, and it takes some reflection, and it takes some introspection, and we will do that. But let me read to you what I wrote. I would use my communication talents and share everything that helped me to be a free-spirited, happy human being with all those seeking fulfillment and happiness. I would continually strive to find more wisdom and share it with the people around me. I would show as many people as possible how to reach mental and financial independence, how to be grateful for all the good things we already have in our lives, how to enjoy the moment, and how to love and respect ourselves and all our unique achievements. I would lead a healthy, balanced life with enough relaxation time and spoil myself more often, knowing that I deserve all of the abundance that is coming my way. I walk my talk and always lead by example. That was what I wrote. And I'm still working on the last bit, because I'm still not spoiling myself enough. Should be the easiest thing, shouldn't it? Yeah, I've not been brought up like this. I've been brought up that life is hard and life is work. So I'm still struggling with spoiling myself, and I actually put money now. Every time I make some money, I put 10% in a play jar, and then I need to spend that money every month. I need to just blow it on something that I enjoy. A nice massage, a day in a spa, cosmetic salon, a new dress or whatever, or a trip, depending how much money it is. And I really need to force myself to do that. It doesn't come natural, but I will teach you all this stuff. Probably many of you will be exactly the opposite to me and spend your money more on yourself. Well, we need to find a balance. That's the main thing. And, of course, that's part of what we're doing. So the next exercise might seem a little bit insensitive. And it's frightening for many people to think about death in general terms, and let alone about their own death. But passing away, first of all, is part of life. So whether we fear it or we look forward to it, it makes no difference except in our life. I mean, it's going to happen anyway. If we fear it, of course, it's going to make our life more difficult. So you decide how you want to look at it. But anyway, the exercise is not looking at your death to make you feel the emotions about, oh, my God, I'm passing away. It's totally different. Oh, we're already coming to an end. My God, I thought I have another 10 minutes. But I will talk through the music and give you another few minutes, because I want to give you this one exercise before we finish for today. Thank you. that was nice and relaxing, wasn't it? I was just talking about passing away before the music started, and I really urge you to stop worrying about it, because it's something that you can't change, and it is the only thing that you have no choice over. But what we can change, and that is what we're talking about today, is the way that we live now. We can choose to live the life of our dreams. We can choose also to live a cheap copy of it. And you wouldn't be listening if you wanted to live a cheap copy of your life. So this is the real thing. We've got to make our life as good as we can. We've got to give it our best shot. I think we will all agree with that. Donald Trump says, if you're going to think anywhere, why not think big? And I totally, totally agree with him, even though I don't agree with everything that he says or the personality that he is sometimes. But if we're going to think anyway, we might as well think big, right? So in this next exercise, I want you to write down what you want people to say about you at your funeral. What do you want your friends, your family, and other people to say about you at your funeral? And please make an effort here to be serious. Some people make fun of it because it feels uncomfortable to them. It's not really an exercise to make fun of. It's about looking, what do you want your life to have been like when you're gone? What do you want the memories of you to be like when you're gone? And what do you want people to say at your funeral about you? Because it shows a lot about who you are deep inside. So I use this technique in my mastermind group, for instance, sometimes, depending on the group. And one time a lady refused. She was end 50s, and she refused to do it. She said, I don't want to think about my death. And that's not what it is about. It is about thinking about your life. Right? I ask you to think of the best life that you can imagine. I want you to write about your dreams. What would you love people to say about you? What do you want people to say about you? What would you love to have done in your life? And don't be too realistic, you know, just write what you really want to have done. So imagine that you just passed away and a very good friend is giving you eulogy? Oh my God. The speech that they give at your gravesite. I can't pronounce it, I'm really sorry. What would you want them to say about you? And write that down. Okay? You see, it's never too early or it's never too late to start living a life of purpose, a life of your dreams, the life of your idea, your ideal life. And very often, you might realize that you've already been doing it, just not maybe consequently enough, okay? So my next question is, are you already living the life of your purpose, or is there still something missing? So let's be critical in this for a moment. If you were here, if you were to leave this planet today, would what you've wrote before about, I mean, what people are saying about you at your funeral, would that be what you're living now? I mean, the response that you've given to the earlier questions, is that what people are likely to say about you? If not, I mean, it's normal. For me, it was vastly different, I tell you. It was vastly different to my reality when I first did this exercise. And if not, then just take note of the areas that you still want to work on. Because you do want to become the person that you wish to be, don't you? Excellent. So that's the next part. That's the second part to this funeral exercise, that you look at the gap between what you want people to say and what people would say today, probably. You know, where you are today and where you want to go. And once you've done this, slap yourself on the back and congratulate yourself, because that's quite a big step. And it's not always a pleasant step. It's not always, very often we realize that we are very far away from where we actually want to go. But that you have taken the step is so, so important, because it is such a big step towards your personal freedom and fulfillment. And if you didn't like this exercise, then I suggest you have a look at how you feel about life and death, because it's unavoidable, right? So I think we should face it and, you know, get comfortable with it somehow. But if this technique about thinking about your funeral and about you passing away is too tough for you, then I suggest that you write your rocking chair story. What you want to tell your great-grandchildren about your life when you're 95 years old. What do you want to tell them? Imagine that you're sitting in a rocking chair and five great-grandchildren are sitting at your feet and you are telling them the story of your life. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to be able to tell them? And like in all other exercises before, I want you to use your imagination. And I want you to do this in writing. You know, there's no time now while I'm talking. Do it in writing. And I will put this on my Facebook. Yeah, let's do that. I will put the questions on my Facebook, in the notes on my Facebook page. That is facebook.com/Barbara Hofmeister. And you look under notes, and I will put these questions in there, okay? And I will also post it on my blog. That's barbarahofmeister.com/blog. So you can find the questions just in case you didn't have a pen and paper now. And believe me, imagination grows by exercise. You just need to try it. Well, that's it for today. And I've gone well over time, as I thought I probably would. You see, these are only the first steps to actually step into your greatness, to step into your power, to step into your purpose. And some of you will be already very close to living your dream life, and others will be very, very far away. But no matter, if you've actually realized that there is a gap between where you are today and where you want to be at the end of your days, then you have the opportunity now to actually define that and close that gap. And we're going to work through that step by little tiny step. And every week on Thursday at midday Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to give this talk, and you can listen to the archives also. And, of course, I really suggest that you get the book, at least get the first 38 pages. We've now gone through maybe 25 in a very, very superficial way, because it takes much longer to talk you through it than it does to read through it. So please, get the book from the book website, and that is www.thetobebook.com. The thetobebook.com, thetobebook.com, and you can get a free preview chapter. And if you enjoy that, then you can get the book, either in e-format or the physical book, of course, is always the best. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this. I hope you live the life of your dreams. And I will be very, very happy if you continue to come back so that I can show you how to get your dreams back and the courage to make them come true. Because to be or not to be, that choice is truly yours. This is Barbara Hofmeister from the To Be Show, and I see you next Tuesday with a very special guest at 1 p.m. EST, and on Thursday with the next session from the To Be book. Have a wonderful week, and be the best you can be. Bye.